Pastor Candy Christmas of Regeneration Nashville, and I'm so happy to have this time together with you today. If no one's told you they love you yet, I want to be the first. I love you, and I'm so glad you're here. Today, I want to talk with you a little bit about exercise, So don't turn me off yet. We may not be talking about exactly what comes to mind when I say exercise. I want to talk with you about If I had a title to this message today, it would be Exercise Yourself Unto Godliness. And so I just want to be reading today from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. And this has really been in my spirit for several days. And I did some word study on it. And so I just thought I would bring to you what is in my heart and what God has been speaking to me. So we'll start at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So here, just the context of the writing here, Paul is training Timothy. Timothy is really a son in the Lord to Paul. And Timothy is a young pastor, and he's pastoring a church in Ephesus. And Paul is writing to him letters full of pertinent information that every pastor should know. And he's giving him warnings and telling him where his energy is best spent. And so I've heard this, I've been in church my whole life, and I've heard this passage preached. I've heard preachers say, well, you know, you see it right here, that bodily exercise, it doesn't profit you anything. And so now, in this hour, in this day and age, we do understand that bodily exercise does profit us. It prolongs our life, and, you know, it makes your heart rate go down, your blood pressure go down, and makes you feel better. And if you have grandchildren, you can live longer to see them grow up. And, you know, you can extend your life by bodily exercise and taking care of the temple of the Holy Ghost. I think, though, what Paul is saying here is that bodily exercise, it's only profitable for a time. So say you work out for a long time, and you're going to the gym, or maybe you're running out in the park or whatever. And as long as you are exercising, then you've built up your endurance, you build up your muscle mass, and done all the great things for your body. But when you stop exercising, really those things go away. So he says, bodily exercise profits for a little while. But he said, when you exercise yourself towards godliness, it has lasting value in this life, but also in the life to come. So there's spiritual value, there's physical value, there's value in this world and in the world to come. I'd like to read, if you don't mind, let's go to the ESV version of this. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4, again, verse 7. Having nothing to do with irreverent or silly myths. So he's warning him about irreverent and irrelevant silly myths and wives' tales and fables. Stay away from that. Keep your doctrine sound, he's telling him, as this pastor. He said, rather, train yourself to godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. So there is a dichotomy between the two. He's saying, if you're going to choose one, of course, choose training your spirit, your inner man, because there's much more value. If you put it on the scale, you know, it's a weightier matter to train yourself for godliness, but don't forget your bodily exercise. There is some value to it. He said, godliness is a value in every way, as it holds promise for this present life and also the life that is to come. So Paul is addressing false teachers in verses 1 through 5 and the need for sound doctrine as a pastor and disciplined living in the church and Timothy's role as a young pastor there in Ephesus. And so Paul is really driving this home to his young mentee. And he says, exercise yourself. So I love this word. I think you'll find this interesting because he says, exercise yourself. And this is the Greek word gymnase, which we get our word gymnasium or gym and our exercise. It's an intentional, disciplined effort. Exercise yourself. I don't know if you have a regular exercise program, but I'm going to tell you, if you exercise your body, you know, you have to do it. And sometimes I'm just going to tell you, you just have to pull yourself up by the nape of your neck and say, you are going to do it today, because not every day you feel like working out and you feel like sweating or changing your clothes and your gym clothes and or taking the extra time away from home to exercise. And so it's intentional and it's a disciplined effort, like athletic training. It's not passive spirituality. A contrast to empty and speculation are external religious rules. So Paul is teaching Timothy, don't just avoid error, but he says actively cultivate godliness. And so let's just look a little bit at what he's telling him, this exercise yourself to godliness. What is Paul actually saying? Because he lays it out in scripture. He says, immersing yourself in the Word of God, learning the Word of God, and that's in verse 13, and teaching sound doctrine, which is in verse 11, guarding one's life and teaching, verse 16, by prayer and devotion, moral discipline, and perseverance under pressure. You know, I remember, I've tried to exercise most of my life, especially since I've been married to Pastor Kent. Pastor Kent, he is a man of discipline. And I have found out by watching his life and following his guide that a lot of times if you are disciplined in bodily exercise, that will then bleed over into your spiritual exercise to godliness. Because if you're disciplined in exercise, you learn how to discipline your body. And so then you can discipline your body more easily in prayer, in Bible reading, in study, in godliness. If you've already brought your body under subjection in exercise. So it just kind of all goes together. And I remember in the house that we lived in this one house for close to 30 years, and this is where we raised our children, and it was in a sweet little neighborhood. And so you go right out the driveway, right straight out the front driveway, and the road takes a little dip, and then that road that runs right in front of the house goes straight up. And so I decided that I was going to start jogging. I was going to start running. And so, man, I did real good in that first little dip. But you start going straight up that hill, especially on a hot, sunny day. And for many weeks, I would get about halfway up that hill and stop running altogether, bend over, try not to vomit, hyperventilating, sweating. But you know, I found out something over time that I could get farther and farther up that hill. And then after a while, I could run straight up it. And then guess what? After months and years, I looked forward to running up that hill. I looked forward to conquering that hill. And there was something in me that couldn't wait to get my tennis shoes on and run straight up that hill. I don't know. It was just something invigorating about it. And if you've ever been a runner, you just feel like you've been all scrubbed out inside, all cleaned out inside. And that's the way it is when you exercise yourself unto godliness. At first, sometimes maybe it's prayer discipline. Maybe you do well in your Bible reading, and the first thing in the morning you're reading your devotional and all that. But maybe your prayer life, it's harder to pray, or vice versa. You could pray easily and have a hard time reading your Bible. But whatever it is that you find difficult, if you'll go ahead and push your way through it, then over time, it becomes easy. And not only does it become easy, then you can't wait to get in there. You've got so many things to talk to the Lord about, and you've got so many devils that you're wanting to fight. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's a wrestling. There's an exercising. There's a spiritual discipline. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spirits of darkness and wickedness in high places. And man, you can't wait to get in there and make war in the heavenlies for your children, for your family, for your community, for your nation. And you look forward to it. Why? Because you have exercised yourself unto godliness. And so I want to just give you this because this is what got me thinking along those lines. I have discovered Dallas Willard books. And you have maybe been reading him a long time, but I really haven't. Only in the last year have I started reading Dallas Willard books, and brilliant man, already gone on to be with the Lord, walked in great revelation. But I just finished this book called Life Without Lack, it's really, he's expounding on the 23rd Psalm, and this book has been life-changing for me. But he said something towards the end of the book. He studied other religions, and he studied Islam. And so if you will forgive me, I want to make a reference to Islam and to their religion, and in no way endorsing that, in no way. Jesus Christ is the only way. So, but he made a reference to Islam in this book, and he said that the followers of Islam pray 5 times a day. And for me, that was an aha moment, because literally, they're praying all day long. Their first time of prayer is before dawn, and they have names for these different 5 times that they pray. One is F-A-J-R, Fajr, I believe it is, and it's before dawn. And the second one is midday, in early afternoon, just after the sun passes its highest point. Then they pray in late afternoon, and then just after sunset. And then they pray after dark, about 9 o'clock. And so Dallas Willard was telling this in his book about their dedication. And I, you know what? That really was a wake-up call to me. Because we know that Jesus Christ is the answer for this world. And we know that He is the only living and true God. But He deserves to have a people who will be a living sacrifice. And as a matter of fact, Brother Dallas Willard brought this out. He said that we should be living a sacrificial life unto God, praying night and day to God. I was feeling pretty good about myself just, you know, for having my morning devotion and reading my Bible. But I found out that I needed to be turning my heart toward God all day long. And I found out a secret about it. At first, it was hard. What the writer said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And I realized that I have grown to a place in God, if I could just say that, where I should be turning my heart to God. It's my reasonable service unto God to walk in the Spirit and mind the things of the Spirit, not just in the morning, not just one time a day, or just one time a week. I regret to tell you this. I'm gonna confess my sins to you. But there was a long time early in my Christianity that really I would get to church on Sunday and enjoy the presence of God. And then I didn't think about Him the whole rest of the week. I was taking care of kids and, you know, I felt I was a really good Christian. And I would get in church and I'd think, why am I so hungry for God? And then because of that desire, then I started praying every day and exercising myself more unto godliness by my morning devotion. And I felt my hunger for Him grow so much that this suggestion by Brother Dallas Willard, that if the people of Islam are seeking their false God this many times a day, should not the people of God be turning their hearts to the Lord all day long? I know I have this passage of scripture. Here it is. I want to show this to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says, rejoice always. And then it says, pray without ceasing. And so I have begun to exercise myself to turn my heart and my prayers to God all day long while I'm driving, while I'm doing things in the house, not necessarily even things of God, but just make a conscious effort to worship Him all day long at different intervals of the day. And so I want to tell you this. We're gonna move on here in a moment, but I just want to tell you, it wasn't easy. I found myself becoming exhausted, to becoming tired. That's what you do when you exercise. It's a new exercise. But what it did, it changed my thought patterns, the neurological paths. You're not going to believe this. But the neurological paths in my mind and in my brain started changing. And it has transformed my mind, my thought process, and I have begun to find new paths, new thought patterns in my life. Things that used to bother me don't bother me anymore. Things that used to nag at my mind, maybe offenses or fear or whatever used to permeate my thought patterns, they have fallen by the way because now I'm exercising myself unto godliness. I want to encourage you to begin a new thought pattern of constantly throughout the day, turn your heart toward God. Turn your thoughts toward Him. And I'm not just saying, oh, just Jesus, Jesus, you know, which is fine. But literally make a conscious effort to turn your heart and your thoughts and your love to God and see what difference it will make in your life. So exercising yourself unto godliness is intentional, repeated practices, shaping the inner life, shaping the mind, renewing your mind, aligning with truth over time. This has even changed, I believe, in a lot of ways, my own personality and the way that I process things. You know, prayer is one way that we can exercise ourselves unto godliness, but I have found a new love for the Word during this time and a new revelation. You know, Paul writes and he said, I pray that God will enlighten the eyes of your understanding. And I find that the more I turn my heart towards Him all day long, the more my understanding is enlightened for His Word, the more I understand the things around me and perceive, because God's life is flowing through me. I'm just admitting to you my failures, my faults, and where God is changing me. So in the midst of all of this, I kept hearing this word, exercise yourself unto godliness. Exercise yourself unto godliness. And I thought, I hate to say it, I thought, is that a scripture? I haven't read that lately. What is that? And the Lord took me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Exercise yourself unto godliness. And so I want to tell you that if at first it seems difficult, stay with it, because it gets easier and easier. And then not only does it get easier, it's your lifeline. You enjoy it. You look forward to it. And more then, you want to turn your heart toward God. So Paul modeled this to Timothy. He didn't just say, hey, do what I'm telling you to do here. But this is Paul's exercise. And he modeled this to Timothy because he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, but in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distress, in stripes, imprisonment, in tumults, in labor, sleeplessness, and fasting, by purity, by knowledge. These are exercises that he himself was exercising unto godliness. Watch this, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race, all run, but one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. So across the board then, when you are exercising unto godliness, he's saying you become temperate in all things. Christian living becomes easier. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. I'm not just aimlessly fighting the air. I have a purpose. I'm very intentional about this exercise. He said, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So Paul uses the same athletic imagery, running to win, training with purpose, and practicing self-denial. So it's an intentional pursuit of Christ's likeness. Paul writes this in Philippians 3 and 12. He says, not that I have already obtained, he said, or am already perfected, but I press on. I believe it is Jude chapter 20. He said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up. That kind of sounds like weightlifting to me. What starts out is so difficult, and you're pressing, Paul says. He says, I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ has also laid hold of me. So I'm pressing. But before you know it, you've exercised yourself unto godliness, and you can just run in and just pick up that weight, whatever it is you're carrying, and you just carry it to the Lord. And you're not exhausted, but you have endurance in the Holy Ghost because you've exercised yourself. This is a common thread throughout the Word of God. I'll just point you toward Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. He got on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. So Daniel had a daily rhythm of his walk with God in his prayer life, an intentional rhythm of exercise that he did in prayer. King David had a continual pursuit of God. Psalm 63 and 1 says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I press in, I press on." Psalm 119, 164 says, "Seven times a day I praise you." Seven times a day. I just want to encourage you all day long. Offer up a praise. Offer up a worship. Offer up a prayer unto God and say his name and see what it will do for you. What we see is intentional seeking, not passive spirituality. Frequent, repeated turning to God. And David used Psalms as a spiritual discipline, prayer and meditation. Last one, just for reference sake, Joshua meditated on scripture, Joshua 1 and 8. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." And we see that continual engagement with scripture, meditation, and discipline, not mood. He said, "Then you will make your way prosperous." If you will meditate on scripture, one of the greatest keys and secrets that I have found is biblical meditation. If you have any trouble with depression, especially, or the spirit of heaviness, or the enemy plagues you with fear, or maybe unforgiveness, things like that that may torment you, I want to encourage you to memorize scripture and turn your heart all through the day to scripture. Jesus said this, "My words are spirit and they are life." So when you meditate and you mumble and you ruminate on God's word, it's the spirit of God that gives in you, that is within you and gives you peace of mind and peace in your heart. He said, "I will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on me." So it's important that we learn to meditate. You know what? You may start out with Psalm 23. You might have learned that as a child, or even just the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is the word of God. "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Just begin to ruminate on that and meditate on that during the day. And I believe that you'll see a difference in your spiritual formation as an apprentice of Christ. You'll see changes in your heart and in your mind and in your meditation. You know, yesterday I was reading a book, and I'd never really heard of this man before. His name is Charles Tinley, and he was born, I want to get my information right. Charles Tinley was born in 1851, and he died in 1933. And he was known as the Prince of Preachers, and he pastored a church. When he died, he pastored a church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. But I just was so profoundly affected by this man's story, because when he was a little boy, we're talking about exercising yourself unto godliness. When he was a little boy, his mother died when he was 5 years old. And I have a hard time imagining this, but his own dad sold him into slavery. And the man who bought him, the slave owner that bought him, mistreated him horribly. And so I was reading this yesterday, and my heart broke for this man, because they would not allow him to learn to read. And he had such a hunger to read the Word of God and to learn knowledge. And so as the story went on, he was this slave and wasn't able to read. So he would go through the trash can at night and save newspaper clippings out of the trash. And he literally taught himself to read by candlelight late at night. And so he got... He was so hungry for God. They said that one day he got his shirt. His shirt was filthy. He'd been working hard and been so mistreated by the slave owner. So he took his shirt to a river and he washed it out. And he found his way to a little church on Sundays, and he would listen to them sing. And he would listen to the Word of God, and he loved it so much that one day he was so enthralled in the pastor's preaching. And this was a white community, a white church, and this is a little African-American boy, had no shoes on, his clothes are torn, his shirt is dirty from river water. But the pastor was preaching, and he was so enthralled in what the pastor was saying. He said, "Any child that knows how to read, I want you to come down here right now, and we're going to read scripture together." And this little boy came from his hiding place. He was perched up in the bell tower, and he ran down into the congregation, barefooted and tattered. And the pastor was so taken aback. He was the only African American in the whole building. And the pastor gave him the Bible, and he began to read scripture to that whole church. And as time went on, his hunger for the Lord, I mean, it's unbelievable how his hunger led him. But he started taking correspondence courses to Bible schools, and he learned how to read Hebrew, and he learned how to read Greek. And he was offered a little church, a little congregation. And this congregation went from 35 people. This is just because of the hunger. He exercised himself unto godliness to read God's word. This little tiny congregation of 35 grew to 12,500. He pastored the largest church, and it was all nationalities. It was all races. It was a multiracial church when that was unheard of. In Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but this is what I wanted to tell you. He exercised himself to such godliness that in the middle of his preaching, a little boy came down to give his heart to the Lord while he was preaching, and he stopped. And he prayed with this little boy, and someone told him where he was from, and it was where Charles Tinley, his hometown, where he was from. And he said, "Who are you? Where are you from?" Come to find out, he was praying with the grandson of the slave owner who had previously owned him and mistreated him. And Charles Tinley had the opportunity to love on this young man and lead him to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and won his soul there. And Charles Tinley was used mightily to bring unity to all of the community there. He fed the hungry, he clothed the naked, and God used him mightily because he exercised himself unto godliness. He cleansed his heart of all unforgiveness, and he sought God with all of his heart. What a beautiful story. Isn't that wonderful? Incidentally, he wrote the song. Let me get it for you because you're going to like this. He wrote the song, "Take Your Burdens to the Lord and Leave It There." Do you remember that? "Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there." You remember that song? He's the writer of that, Charles Tinley, and he was called the Prince of Preachers. Well, I understand why, don't you? He exercised himself unto godliness. So I pray for you today that God will give you the grace and strengthen you to exercise yourself unto godliness, that it will become easy, that he will lift your heavy load. I love you with all my heart. I'm so glad you're here. I'll see you right here next time.